And I respected Rick from what I had learned of him. I knew he was, you know, actually a doctor. So I was like, he knows what he's doing. And also just really liked his energy.
I was excited to hear that answer because when Gina asked it, I'm like, I don't remember how we got connected.
Just, I don't know. He needs to pump it up a little bit.
You should have hit a, you know, phone booth warfare before you got on with us, Rick.
Hey, Warners, welcome to another episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tramarco, sales trainer and consultant at Pivot 10 Results and Sales Gravy University and Carolina Improv as the founder.
You used to complain that your list was too short, and now your list is longer. I'm Rachel Pitt, mommy, wifey, loan officer with U.S. Mortgage and creator of the UltraFit Lifestyle. And speaking of the UltraFit Lifestyle, today we have Dr. Rick Katoof with us, who is a huge part of helping me create my version of the UltraFit Lifestyle. And you guys will love him. He's amazing.
I got to tell you, and do you want to read his bio or you want to share his bio?
Yeah, sure.
So, you want to share, go ahead and share his bio now. And then I got a couple things I want to give you as my takeaways from the show.
Okay. Well, Rick Katoof is a doctor of optometry. So, which is interesting. Then he transitioned to be a fitness coach and fitness and nutrition coach. That is, he's a two-time best-selling author, fitness and nutrition expert, and has been named one of America's premier experts and one of the world fitness elite trainers of the year. He's a sports nutrition specialist, a heart rate performance specialist, a master personal trainer, and a triathlon coach. He's got it all. He's been on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox affiliates around the country, as well as been in all the major newspapers. And he's the CEO and founder of Team Katoof Incorporated, Team Katoof Nutrition. And just recently, and I meant to ask him about this, we didn't get to this, the Virtual Gym LLC. Now he does most and all of his, I don't know if all, but primarily his coaching is virtually because that's what he does with me. Like I've never actually met him in person. But he just showed everybody in Team Katoof his patent that he got on virtual gym. Dr. Rick has personally coached individuals in 30 plus states, virtually, of course, and more than 10 countries. He's pretty cool.
And on this episode, I was like, oh, you need some more energy. I mean, his energy is like,
oh, he's
off
wide open.
The hook. I really loved him. There were so many great takeaways. I can't wait to eventually work with him. But there was something that really resonated with me, and it was his comment about the finish line mentality. There's no finish line when it comes to your fitness, and that that was just a huge aha, and we unpacked that a little bit in this episode. And I think it's really important for anybody who has those days where like, I'm going to get my health in order for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can really relate to that theory, because as a dancer, you know, since I was 5 years old, there's never really like the journey is the process. Like, or the process is the product, more like, because you can get to a point and do a performance and then you're like, ah, I could have done this better. And so that's what always has kept me going in terms of my dance career. And it's the same in athletics when you become, you know, higher level athlete or running a marathon. You run your marathon and then you're like, ah, I could have been faster, you know, like just, and that is a great mentality. And like Gina said, we unpack it a bit and talk about how people go on diets, the big D word that strikes fear in the hearts of everyone.
Wait. I'm going to reveal this one now, and that we'll unpack this one too. Diet, disaster imminent. Every time.
Yeah.
That's what diet stands for. D-I-E-T.
I've never actually thought of it in the way that he was talking about it in that way, but it's so true that like when you're like, dun, 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 my diet starts on Monday. Mm-hmm. And like the word die is involved. So
nobody ever died, but did they? Maybe maybe I died just a little bit in that diet. Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But Dr. Katoof has got some great advice for anybody in business as well. It's not strictly a podcast about fitness and nutrition. He talks about his transition from optometry into the world of the entrepreneurial world of fitness and being a business owner. So there's a lot of good nuggets in there for you, Warners, as well.
Yeah, had a lot of great appreciation for that discussion on passion and what leads us to building our businesses. So if you're an entrepreneur or entrepreneur wannabe, I think you'll get into this. If you want to get your fitness in order, I think you'll get into this. If you just want to listen to our wackiness, you'll get into this. So sit back and enjoy this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About with Dr. Katoof.
We are super excited to bring my friend and my coach, Dr. Rick Katoof, to you. Welcome, Dr. Rick Katoof.
Great to be here. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Gina. Looking forward to it.
And I'm excited.
Yeah, and I will just call you Rick from now on if you're okay with that.
Oh, please. Yeah. That's the best.
So really quickly, you guys, I'm so happy to bring Dr. Katoof on for you guys because he's got just so many interesting things that he can share with you. And as we like to always start, Rick, we are the women your mother warned you about. So I wonder, when you hear the name of this podcast, what do you think makes someone a woman your mother warned you about?
When I saw the name of the podcast, first of all, I was thrilled to have the opportunity to be part of it. I think it gives everybody a good chuckle in a good way. Like, all right, what does that really mean? And were we ever warned? So that's the first thing I thought was pretty comical, but it kind of stopped there. And I'm like, I don't know if I should really think about this too much.
True that. You just never quite know what's going to happen when you come onto our show, but we try to have lots of fun. So, Gina, as we said in our introduction, I have known Rick for a while and he's coached me in a couple of different ways. But what I found really interesting when I first met Rick was that prior to becoming a full-time fitness and nutrition coach and starting his supplement company and all of that, he started out as an optometrist. So
I saw that. I was like, wait a second. Will the real Dr. Rick stand up? I was like, look, checking him out on LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah. So tell us a little bit, Rick, about what caused you to transform from optometrist into nutrition and fitness professional.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's probably one of the most common questions I get over the years, because on the surface, people look at optometry and then fitness as like opposite ends of the spectrum, because it's just public perception that an optometrist is just prescribing glasses, contacts, things like that. Obviously, that's part of what we do as optometrists, but as an optometrist, we're much more educated than just contacts and glasses. So anyways, so I've been a lifelong athlete, and so enjoying the human body, enjoying physiology, enjoying seeing what I can do with my own body and helping others, you know, change and transform their body. And so what led me to optometry was my father. My father's an optometrist. My sister's an optometrist. I got two cousins that are optometrists. So optometry definitely runs in the family. And, you know, my father being a mentor of mine growing up, always liked, you know, what he did as an optometrist and always having time, you know, for me and my sport. So I thought, boy, that's a nice balance of, you know, work life, family life, things like that. So I followed my dad's footsteps. I went to the Illinois College of Optometry, and 25 years after my father graduated, I graduated. So 1997, became an optometrist, moved back to Ohio, joined my father in practice, and it was great. I loved it. But pretty early on, I would say that I knew my dad wasn't going to be in practice that much longer. He'd already been practicing for 25 years. And I said, Dad, when you walk out of here, I'm walking out of here. It was just, I just knew optometry wasn't going to retire me. I knew I wanted to pursue my passion of health and fitness. Didn't know how, didn't worry about how, but I just knew I was going to do it. Didn't know how I was going to do it. So literally within 2 months, so 8 years later, June of 2006, my dad left practice. August 2006, I was right behind him. I was out. I said, that's it. I'm going to start my own fitness and nutrition business. Now, I'd already started it on the side. And so there were a couple of years there where it was just a grind. It was work out in the morning, examine patients all day, take my laptop, go sit at Panera Bread at night and work on my coaching business. And I did that for years. And so when I left optometry, I had just a small coaching business, but you know, I just grew from there. So it was one of those things that, you know, Rachel and Gina, I didn't want to look back and say, what if, you know, I'm 49 now. I don't want to be 49 and look back and go, man, 10 years ago, what if I would have done that? So I just pulled the trigger and did it, man. And so it was, people thought I was crazy. No doubt. I mean, you go to school your whole life to become an optometrist. You have a great life. You know, 6-figure income. Life is good. And you walk away from it and you have nothing now. But you know, I think there's more to it in terms of life. And I wanted to pursue my passion. Health and fitness is where I live. That's my life. And I haven't looked back.
I think you...
Boy, this sounds like a familiar conversation, Rachel, about doing something that makes you happy.
Right. And well, and Rick, you make such a great point that I think is so crucial for all of our listeners who might not be super happy in their job that they're in right now, and they want to transition to something else, that you started it before you left the other job. So you at least got a little head start. And a lot of times people will just be like, I hate this job, fuck it. And then they quit, and then they don't have any income to support the beginning of this new business. And I think Lisa Nichols has a great book called Abundance Now, and she talks about using your job to fund your dream. And that sounds like exactly what you were doing when you transitioned. And it's a great way to do it, that you can also sort of help, if you're not super happy in your job, help you see it as your funding institution for your next steps, right?
No, I think that's a great point. I love that phrase that you used from that woman. I think it's great. And I would always use the phrase, you know, we've all heard it before. It goes something like, "What? Don't quit your day job till your night job starts paying." Kind of one of those things. And I kind of use that mindset. And you know, when people ask me about it, like we're talking about it now, a lot of people say, you know, how did you know? When was the right time? And I tell people, I don't think there's a right time. I don't think there's a perfect time. You just have to do it. You know, now you can't be reckless. It's got to be a calculated decision, no doubt. And so I had goals. I said, okay, if I can, you know, once I have, you know, just X amount of money saved away and just little things, you know, and have X amount of clients, I'm like, you know what? I'll just make the leap. So there's no perfect time. It's just, what's the right time for you? And it's scary, no doubt about it. And what I tell people too is this, I'm like, I work so much more now. Like, this is a 24/7 business. It never closes. Optometry, I closed the door and didn't have to go back till the next day. Like, you know, I mean, how many calls you get in the middle of the night within, you know, if it's that emergent, urgent of an eye injury, they're not coming to see me. You know, they're going to see a surgeon. So point is, it wasn't like I was on call. It was a great life. So I work so much more now, but as you and I have talked about too, kind of on the side, Rachel, when you really enjoy what you do, it's different. And I mean, I've never worked this much in my life, but I love what I do every day.
They say, you know, when you love what you do, you never work a day in your life, you know, and because it's just, it's your living and breathing what you do, instead of like, oh God, here we go again with this whatever job.
I can remember the feeling. I enjoyed the patient interaction. I enjoyed, you know, what my dad would phrase the knee to knee, eye to eye. You're right there with the patient having that interaction. But as someone that is so passionate about health and fitness, I was on the wrong side of it. You know, you're managing disease. You're not helping anybody get healthier in the world of medicine. I would ask the simple question to a diabetic or hypertensive patient. I always knew the answer, but you know, I wanted to ask anyways. So tell me, you know, what your physician is doing. And again, no fault to the physician. I'm just giving facts here. So tell me what your physician done in terms of your diabetes. Well, you know, my sugar went up a little bit, so they put me on more medication. Again, not fault. That's just where medicine is at. And so that's not the side of health and life I wanted to be on. I wanted to be on the other side of things. And I don't want to just manage disease.
I'm curious. You talk about passion, and this is why a lot of us start our own business from passion. What inspired, motivated you to go this, like you were doing it as a side hustle, but was there something specific or a turning point that was like, this was your thing? What was that?
Yeah, no, absolutely, Gina, there was. And this goes back to my teenage years. So being that lifelong athlete, I literally started not as a business, but I was coaching and training individuals as early as 19 years old, really 18 years old. Okay. And so I played 2 years of Division III college football, Oberlin College in Cleveland, Oberlin, Ohio, near Cleveland, and played 2 years there. And then, you know, after a number of injuries, transferred to Kent State University and finished up there. And so when I transferred to Kent State University, I was 19 years old, I started my personal training business. So that's really where it started as a business. So it goes back 30 years. So there's nothing I've done more in my life work-wise than fitness.
So it's always been there. So that's what I wanted to kind of hone in on.
It has. I mean, it's always been there. I just really felt obviously I had a passion for it, but I really felt I understood the human body. I knew how to get myself fit and help others get fit. And it's just fun. So yeah, it's always been there.
Yeah, you can't escape who you really are and what your true passions are. Trust me, I've tried it 100 different ways, and I keep coming back to who I am and my own self. So, ta-da.
Well, I mean, I think it's a really great learning lesson for everybody listening to this episode, because Rachel and I have had these conversations on the show, but offline as well, about where our true passions are as people. And so I was curious about your story, Rick, because Rachel's got the story. I've got the story. I mean, we're both performers at heart and have been like our entire lives. And so that continues to show up in where we truly want to be.
No, I completely agree. And it can lead to, as I'm sure you've both seen in your life, that one passion can lead. It's that you knock over that first domino can lead to so many different things. I mean, did I know, that I'd start a nutrition supplement company after the coaching business was successful in 2011? No, but it was something that was always there. I've been using nutrition supplements personally since I was 14 years old. And so I love supplements. I just wanted better supplements. So it's just that one passion of ours, as we've both seen, all three of us have seen, can lead to so many great.
So let's talk about the supplements for a second and get into nutrition, because I mean, I'm on track right now. I've been working with Rick for, this would be like week five, I guess, or week six, five or six. And I'm on just like a very strict nutrition routine because we're working towards doing this bikini competition in 2021, which is a lot of fun. But the key element to it is the nutrition. It is the key. And also every single morning, I just like, it's like clockwork. I just pop my supplements, and I'm working hard, and I'm also under a lot of stress. But Rick and I just had this email conversation this morning that I think that my body is handling the stress and the heavy workouts a lot better because the nutrition is so focused and the supplements as well. So talk a little bit about your nutrition supplement company, Rick, and why are supplements important to people? Because I think a lot of people just don't understand what's good about it.
Right. No, absolutely. And I love how you've seen the importance of nutrition, and not just obviously supplements, but just that everyday nutrition. Because what I tell people is this, the most powerful drug we have, legal drug on the planet, is food. And when we, and like any drug, taken properly, we'll get the benefits. Taken improperly, well, downward spiral. So the nutrition, so kind of bring it up to the supplements. So simultaneously, when I started my coaching business, coaching, runners, triathletes, fitness enthusiasts, it was never just strictly coaching them on the fitness workout side. Because to me, not implementing the nutrition is doing a huge disservice to the client. Like, I can train somebody till they're blue in the face. And if their goal, let's say, is improve performance, improve recovery, improve body composition, which is pretty much the three top ones that anybody has in terms of health and fitness, or just overall health and fitness, without that nutrition component, as you and I both know, we are missing out. I mean, go to any gym, any fitness center around the country, around the world, and we will see obese and overweight individuals working out 7 days a week. So the workout's not the problem. They're getting there doing the workout. Why are they still overweight? Why are they still obese? It's because of the nutrition. So once we start to get that everyday nutrition dialed in, like you and I have talked about, the frequency, the timing, the carbohydrate, protein, fat ratio, the supplements go right along with it. And just the word supplement, you know, just the definition is something added to something already whole. So the whole part is we've got our daily nutrition, we've got our daily workouts. Let's bring the supplements in. And I'm a big car enthusiast, so I always relate supplements to adding horsepower to a car. So if we want to add horsepower to a car, we can add an exhaust, we can add an intake, we can do a tune, we can do a supercharger, turbocharger. All those individually will add good horsepower, but if you do them all together, think the ultimate stack that you're taking, right? We stack them all together and we get the biggest amount of horsepower boost. So that's where the supplements come in. And the supplement industry can be very confusing for people. And I think that's kind of what you were getting at. And what I've tried to do with Team Katoof Nutrition is create a supplement line that will literally cover it from A to Z, from the pre-workout to the in-workout to the post-workout to the health and wellness supplements to the energy bars. So that way we can help individuals customize what's right for them. Because not everybody needs to take 10, 12 supplements a day. What are their needs and goals? What supplements will help facilitate that? And that's where let's say body composition. I mean, that's like the number one goal of everybody. Even if somebody a male has 10% body fat, they want to get to 8% body fat. Like that's just a normal goal. So that whole body composition, that's where the supplements can come into play when added to the nutrition, help build muscle, burn the fat, and you go from there. So supplements are great as long as people are taking the right ones for their specific needs and goals.
Yeah, and definitely, like, Rick has worked with me in a couple of scenarios. The first time I think we worked together was I was working, you know, 100 jobs and doing shows 6 nights a week, and I knew that I needed the right nutrition fueling so that I wouldn't crash and burn. And then he helped me fuel and prepare for my first full marathon, and now we're on a totally different type of track. So Rick's definitely got a great knowledge of what you need to do for each specific sport in which your goal set. And he's just, you know, one thing I love about you, Rick, is that you're very knowledgeable and super enthusiastic, and yet you draw a hard line. Like it's very much like, okay, so you ate this and this and this, and this needs fixed. And it's very, I guess clinical maybe would be the word, which it makes it not, it's not soft, but it's just direct. And it's a great way to work with somebody.
Well, I thank you for that. I appreciate that. And you are a great example because you're right, because we've literally worked together in three different scenarios. I'll never forget that first time. Like, your dance schedule was like, people probably don't even know what you went through for, like, that was a schedule that just blew my mind in a good way. I'm like, oh my gosh, this girl can grind, man. And so that was such a unique schedule that it required nutrition in a certain way to get that done. And then your marathon training and now the bikini competition. So you're that perfect example. You are the same individual, but those nutrition requirements and needs change a little bit depending on the needs and goals. And I like what you said about kind of the just being, you know, black and white about the clinical part. I look at it this way. You know, I've written many articles titled "Athletes Need Coaches, Not Cheerleaders." I will be somebody's biggest cheerleader. Just do the work, though. Like, I tell people, don't pay me to be your cheerleader. Just post something on Facebook and you'll get plenty of cheers. You know, I mean, plenty, right? You know, whatever. This is, people have a goal. You came to me with a specific goal. We're going to get that done. We're going to do it right.
Hey, Warners, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't already hopped over to iTunes to give us a review, please do so. Yes, I'm actually begging, because you know what? If you give us a review, it takes like 30 seconds. It really helps more people find what we have to say. And if you're listening to this right now, you think what we have to say is valuable. So let's spread the love. Give us a review. Please, pretty please. Now back to the show.
I was curious. I wanted to know more about how the two of you came together.
Oh, I know. Okay, so I ran into Rick several years ago when I was working in the fitness industry. I was working at Nine Round, which was boxing.
That's a I remember those Nine Round days.
And that was when, Rick, when I started working at Nine Round, when I first learned about you, I was working in that show 6 nights a week. I'd get home at 11, go to bed at 11:30, and I'd be up at 4:45 to open the gym at 5.
Now, which Nine Round were you working at?
I was at the Nine Round in Merle's Inlet.
Oh my God.
On 707 with Tyler Hobson.
Okay, so then through the, when I created the Nine Round Nutrition, that's probably how is that how it started?
That's how it started. How I don't even know if I ever told you that.
No,
so Nine Round, which is a really cool like kickboxing franchise, they are connected or were, I'm not sure if you're still connected with them. They had a nutrition aspect in their website and Dr. Katouf was in there and I was like, this guy is something else because Rick's got all these like videos and all this great content, which he has on his blog. And I'm like, this guy knows his shit. So I think down the road, I just figured out, you know, I need a nutrition coach and you were it.
I was excited to hear that answer because when Gina asked it, I'm like, I don't remember how we got connected. But yeah, it was through when, because I was the Nine Round nutrition coach probably from, let's say 2011 through six, like for 5 years or so. And so that program, I got to know the owners and the trainers quite well. And so even though we didn't meet face to face, that's how we met. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Good story. Now I know.
Thanks for that. So I was just curious like how that came together. And then so what triggered you then, Rachel, to be like, oh, I want to make all this stuff happen. Let me call Rick.
I guess because I'm a firm believer in having a coach, as you know, Gina. Like I've had some sort of coach as long as I can remember right now, at least 10 years, I've had a coach on some level because I know that for me personally, accountability is really important. And also when I first engaged Rick as my nutrition coach, I know my body with my Crohn's disease, with my crazy schedules. I just was like, I need somebody to tell me what to eat so I don't crash and burn. And I respected Rick from what I had learned of him. I knew he was, you know, actually a doctor. So I was like, he knows what he's doing. And also just really liked his energy. And I still like his energy a lot. And then
I don't know. He needs to pump it up a little bit.
You should have hit a, you know, phone booth warfare before you got on with us, Rick. Side note,
yeah.
The K2 cookie bars are my super jam go-to. Like I love cookies. Everybody knows, everybody knows I'm a cookie freak and when I'm stressed, I'll eat cookies. But now I have Rick's cookie bars, which I'm watching the door because I'm supposed to get a delivery today because I'm out. They should get their day. But they're totally legit, great, and perfectly balanced nutrition as well.
They are. You know, and that's a big reason, you know, I develop supplements because I want them for myself. I want a better balance bar. I want a better tasting pre-workout. So I'm like, okay, look, I'll design it basically for what I'm looking for because I know everybody else is going to enjoy it as well. So yeah, develop the bars would be a great snack. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Because nutrition is such an important aspect of fitness, and you're so right, like now I'm so consistent with my morning routine that I see the same people at the gym. I see them doing their thing. I see people working out really hard and they clearly know what they're doing. And I don't know. I don't talk to him about it, but I'm like, wonder why they're not shredding down as fast as me. And the answer has got to be nutrition. So what do you think is the biggest mistake that people make in their nutrition habits what would be the key thing?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you made that observation because you're so right. And I always use the example for people, even if people haven't run a marathon, I know you have, of course. I tell people, This is the proof. This is all the proof you need to know that working out is not the key to getting leaner. Go to any major marathon where there's 10, 20, 30, 40,000 runners. Large majority of those people will be overweight and or obese. But guess what? They did the work. They ran 40, 60, 80 miles a week. And you think, how can somebody work out that much and not get the body comp results? Well, it's not due to lack of working out. There's the proof right there. So the biggest mistake people make is probably they diet. Like, I've been called the anti-diet guy. I'll take that title all day long. Like, I trademarked the acronym for the word diet, D-I-E-T, disaster, imminent, every time. That's what a diet is. It is, it always will be. There's a new diet that comes out all the time. I mean, we can go back years to Protein Power and Atkins and Paleo and Keto and just keep going. You know, what I tell people is this. It's the same package, different wrapping paper, different color bow, but the same contents inside. And so the people want fast results, right? Let's go back to the 1980s. I think it was Bally's Total Fitness. I think in I don't know if Cher was part of it, anyways, but Bally's, I believe it was Bally's, had a line. I don't know if you both remember this. The phrase went something like this. If a great body came in a bottle, everybody would have one. I think it was Bally's Fitness. Anyways, that's like one of the best statements of fitness ever, right? Like, if a great body came in a bottle, everybody would have one. And I get it, right? I mean, people want it yesterday. They want results. They want to think they can just eat right from one day and get the results. So diets are very popular because they play on the mindset of just the human psyche, the human body, that do this quickly, you'll lose weight quickly, and you will. I tell people all the time, yes, the guarantee is this. You're guaranteed to lose weight on a diet. You're also guaranteed to regain all of it or even more. So that would be the biggest problem is individuals looking at it from a short-term perspective. It's what I call the finish line mentality, right? When people go, well, I'm going to go on a diet for 7 days or 14 days or 30 days. There's no finish line when it comes to health and fitness. There's never a finish line. And if we have that finish line mentality, people reach their imaginary finish line, and then that's why the weight goes back up. So that's the biggest mistake, looking for the short-term dieting and not looking at it from a meaningful, sustainable results for a lifetime. And I get it. It takes a lot of work. It does. But the results are amazing.
I've got a question for you on that, because I love that. I love the finish line mentality. Yeah. That is such an eye opener that I think everybody needs to hear. And I think some people will often hand raised will often be like, okay, I can do this for 10 days. Okay, I can do this for 100 days. Okay, I can do this for a day. I can't, like, and that helps my mindset get there, because I'm like, well, after one day, I can set the next day. I can set the next micro goal. But hearing you say there's no finish line, how do we switch the mindset to feel like that's achievable?
Yeah. No, I think that is such a great question, Gina, because it's not easy. I'm not over, saying, hey, this is easy for people, because it takes work. So one way is this, and I've written articles and blogs along the line with the title of Your Body is Your Business. And you will both appreciate this, being business owners. And even if people aren't a business owner, I think they can start to understand this. We go to start a business, which is kind of how we started this whole conversation, right? And business owners can go months, years, working their tail off, working 50, 60, 70, 80 plus hours a week, not making any money, possibly even losing money. But guess what? They just keep grinding. They keep grinding. They keep grinding. They don't stop. And then it starts to flip, right? All that hard work starts to pay off. Mm-hmm. Then income, then they start to get in the positive. Then they start to earn money and make more money, and the business becomes viable. That's the human body. That's nutrition. We've got to be able to accept that we can have a great day, a great week, a great month of nutrition and training, but we may not lose a pound, and we've got to be okay with that, because it's the business owner that works their tail off every day, every week, every month, and they lose money, but they don't stop. They just keep going and they keep grinding. And that's the key to success right there. Without that mentality, you're going to fail.
So the true key here, it sounds like, is you have to really, really, really want it.
You said it, Gina. You said it. Exactly. That's it. And that's, I just had this conversation on email with a gentleman the other day. I said, now's the time. Based on his feedback, I said, now's the time. You got to pull that chair up in front of the mirror, sit down and have a conversation with that person staring back at you. And you got to ask yourself, how bad do you want it? It's exactly what I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's okay. This is tough for people, but you just may need to lower your goals. That's all there is to it.
Mm. And you know, that's such an important point, because people, I've heard things in the past with, I love reading success books and all those things. You know, if people suddenly set these goals that are so far out of reach, then they're setting themselves up for failure rather than setting a little bit realistic goal. Or like in the example of what I'm doing right now, because relating back to the marathon, when I did the marathon training, I did it too fast and I knew it and you knew it, Rick. Yeah. So in this scenario, I'm like, I'm going to spend about 9 months at it. That gives me till next spring. Yeah. That is enough time to really get where I need to go and not rush it and not end up failing. And so I like that people sometimes go, yes, I'm going to go to the gym 6 days a week. I'm going to go there for 2 hours. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. And they haven't done anything for a year because they've been too busy with the kids or with their job or what have you. That might be too high of a goal, right?
It may be. And you'll appreciate this. We've talked about it. And Gina, this kind of goes back to what you said. And so I look at things very simple. Goals versus commitment level. Here's where most people are at. Goal, commitment level. And I've shared this with Rachel. One of two things has to happen. Either raise the commitment or drop the goal. These two things have to be aligned. If they're not, we're not going to succeed. So goals versus commitment level. And that's where we have to have that one-on-one with ourselves is, how bad do we really want it? Just like you said, Gina, if the goal and commitment level aren't aligned, we got to make a decision. Increase the commitment, drop the goal. One of the two.
I've often said that about business, being a business coach in the past. It's like, how bad do you want this business to work? Because I would run into that a lot with entrepreneurs of the complaining they're not getting where they need to get. And I'm like, well, step it up.
Step it up. Yeah. They'll complain for 15 minutes about their business not working. I'm thinking you could have spent that 15 minutes building your business.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, so.
You know, going back to the diet thing for a second and relating it to the way that Rick's coaching me right now, which might help people. So when and trust me, I have done every diet in the book, you know, in my past, and we've talked about it in past episodes, my eating disorders and just every fucked up thing that you can think of that I've tried, and every trend and every whatever, every pill, every diet.
You're with the norm.
Yeah. And every time I would try one of those things, it felt like suffering. It felt like Gina, maybe what you were getting at, that like, I can do this for 10 days. It's going to suck. And then I can go back to my normal self. Or I don't know if that's what you meant, but like, that's what people will do when they go on a diet. They change what they do. They complain about it the whole time they're at it. Mm-hmm. And then it's the minute they're done, then they go back to whatever they were doing before. Yeah. Conversely, what I'm doing right now with Rick is I actually, one of the most eye-opening things that happened when we first started working together on this right now, most recent goal is Rick pointed out I wasn't eating nearly enough carbs. And I know most people that I talk to are like cutting carbs, or they are worried about carbs because carbs are easy to come by. And I was really surprised to start tracking my nutrition and see that I was not eating enough carbs and I wasn't eating enough. So now I eat like 6 times a day, and sometimes I get to the end of the day and I'm like, I just don't feel like eating again. So I'm definitely not suffering, but it's just very calculated. And I'm very conscious of what I'm putting into my body.
No, I love that. What you said there was so spot on about the suffering and all that. And here's what I share with people about the diet, right? Like, we talk about the cheat meal or the cheat day. Makes no sense, right? Like, I tell people, like, when is cheating ever good? Like, cheat on your taxes, that's bad. Cheat in school, that's bad. Cheat on your spouse, that's bad. Why are you going to cheat on your own body? Like, why are you going to have this? And here's what I explain to people. Do you realize how and why the cheat meal even came about? It probably started maybe, I don't know, 3 decades ago, something like that. Here's the summation of it. Folks, this diet you are going to go on is going to suck so bad. It's going to be miserable that I've got to let you have this cheat day on Sunday or you'll never go back on your diet on Monday. You see, that's the only reason a cheat day or cheat meal even came to be, because the diet world said, this is going to be horrible. It's not going to work. So we're going to let you eat whatever you want on Sunday, just so Monday you'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm so miserable. Got to go back on my diet. So that's the suffering that people go through. And so what I try to help people understand is the weight loss we get from diets, whether it's a fast, whether it's cutting carbohydrates, which is virtually every diet out there, that's not results. That's change, but it's not results. And there's a difference. You see, losing 10 pounds, gaining 12, that's not results, those 10 pounds. That's just body changed, right? And went right back. We're looking for meaningful and sustainable results, and it doesn't have to be. If it's miserable, then you're doing it wrong. You just said it. It's not miserable. You're not suffering. You're eating more. You're eating more frequently. You're eating more carbohydrates. Yay! Like, what else do we want?
Yeah, and the other side. Sorry, Gina. Go ahead.
No, I just say it'd be interesting to see a marketing campaign that was like, this is going to be really hard. You should do this. It's going to be a really hard thing for you. Like, no one's going to sign up.
Right? And actually, like, what I'm doing now, and another side to it that I'll say is, number one, I told Rick out of the gate, like, don't ever put asparagus on there. I fucking hate asparagus. I don't eat cheese, so don't put that on there. And so, like, all of the meals that, and basically, like, Rick's helped me put together meals. So I have, like, this whole huge list of meals, and they're, like, the perfect meal if I get them all the measurements right. Like, this morning, you'll see, I ran out of my protein granola, so I was like, what can I do for more carbs? Okay, I'll have half a piece of toast to, like, to mix it up. So you figure out the balance. But so he's figured out stuff that I actually like to eat. So I get to have peanut butter. I love peanut butter. I get to have peanut butter. I don't have to not have it and deny myself. I get to have cookies, but they're the K2 cookie bar. It's not a chocolate chip cookie. It's not really actually doing me any good.
I'm curious because it sounds like, wow, that sounds like it's kind of fun. What does that look like? Like, when you're working with someone, Rick, like, how do you set that up? How does that process work when today someone's like, okay, I'm totally motivated by this podcast episode. What would that look like to come to you?
Sure. No, absolutely. And I'll expand more on that and what Rachel said about it's the food she likes. So when people find me, whether it's through a podcast like this or my website or an article or blog I wrote, and we start to talk, you know, I present them with different options. Are they looking for training and workout plan? Are they looking for nutrition? In this case, let's say they're looking for nutrition. Rachel used a term that I used in my book, Forever Fit, when I wrote it back in 2005, and that is accountability. I am huge on accountability. I'm huge on personal responsibility. And we know that if we can increase that accountability, we can increase the success. So when somebody says, hey, Rick, I'm ready to go. I want to work with you on nutrition. The way we start is this. I have that in. People are like, just write me a meal plan. I'm like, well, I can't just write you a meal plan. First of all, I don't know anything about you yet. I don't even know what food you like. I don't even know what your goals are. So I, and Rachel appreciate this, I have that individual, Gina, start to log their nutrition. The reason I have them do that is the A word, accountability. Then they can, it's very easy for somebody to say, yeah, you know, Rick, I eat pretty healthy. Yeah, you know, once in a while, maybe I'll, you know, have this, but you know, I eat pretty healthy. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Let's have you start to log it. And they start to log it and they go, oh my gosh, Rick, I didn't realize I ate this bad. So it brings to light what the individual is doing. We can now see the calories, the carbohydrate, the protein, the fat. Plus, it enables me to see exactly what they're doing. I use a simple phrase, right? I'm going to stay in your lane. I'm not going to have Rachel eat asparagus. There's no magic in asparagus if she doesn't like asparagus. She's like, yeah. You know, this is about helping individuals achieve meaningful and sustainable results for a lifetime. I call it the one and done, man. Let's do it once. Let's be done with it. This is how you're going to fuel your body. Enjoy all the results that you get. So the individual starts to log their meals. I start to analyze their meals and snacks. I start to rebuild those for them. I put together their fueling frequency, their fueling timing, the carbohydrate, protein, fat balance for a meal and snack. and they just start to follow.
And so basically you're building them their roadmap to a lifetime commitment.
I love how you said the roadmap, because I've oftentimes related it to a GPS system. I say, look, if I want to drive from here to you're in North Carolina, right? So if I want to drive from here to your place in North Carolina, my GPS has to know my starting point or I can't get to you. My starting point for Rachel and I was Rachel starting to log her foods. Now I've got the starting point. Now we can start with the navigation system. Absolutely, it's a roadmap. It absolutely is.
I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. And I'm a big believer in logging. Anytime I've lost weight has only been because I've journaled it.
Well, you're so right, Gina. And again, it just goes back to that accountability, that personal responsibility. Are we more apt to eat that 1,000 calorie dinner, which people go, oh my gosh, that's a lot. I'm thinking, yeah, you eat more 1,000 calorie dinner, folks, than you even know, because I've seen them. I look at your nutrition. And when people see that, they go, oh, I didn't realize I was eating that much. Like, people don't realize what that 1, 2, or 3 glasses of wine does to their total caloric value. But when they see it, they go, Rick, what am I doing, man? I'm sabotaging myself. So when they can see that, and it kind of goes back to what you said earlier, Gina, we're asking about, like, how do we make that transition from the finish line mentality? This is part of it. People have to see what they're doing.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Yeah. And also, as in terms of accountability, like, I used to, and I bet there's somebody else out there that can relate. I've got the MyFitnessPal app, and I would be like, okay, I'm going to log my food and just like be accountable to myself. And I'd like log my breakfast and then not log again for the next week. So having somebody, like having a human on the other end of the accountability helps me so, so much. And that's why I've always had a coach. And so that way it's helping me, but the way that I function with a coach is like, I want to make sure I'm doing it so that, well, first of all, so Rick doesn't be like, hey, what's going on? You didn't log your shit. Like, but also there's so much power in accountability.
Yeah, there is. And you know, I share with people, and you'll appreciate this. It takes work, folks. Like, again, it's not a genie in a bottle here. It's not just this great body in a bottle. It takes work. But then I tell people, why would you be surprised? Like, what in your life that you became successful at didn't take work? But for some reason, we think that body transformation isn't going to take a lot of work because we can just do it like that. No, it's going to take more work than you've ever seen in your life. So.
Amen. Yeah. Gina, you want to hit up Rick with our signature closing questions before we wrap up?
Oh, I thought you were about to say, Gina, are you ready to start with Rick? I was like, No.
I had a conversation last night with my husband, because when I first started with Rick, he freaked out because he thought he's a wonderful cook. He likes a nice steak. So do I. And he was worried that I was going to force him to do what I'm doing. And I'm like, look, this is what I'm choosing. I appreciate you respecting what I'm doing, but I'm not going to make you eat like me, like, unless you want to, because you really have to be mentally prepared to make that kind of commitment and changes, for sure.
Yeah. And I've been there, and I will be ready eventually.
You do have to be there. I agree, because I'm not saying every scenario like this turned out this way, but when individuals have, let's say, paid for coaching for somebody else, usually doesn't work out quite as well.
Right.
Yep. As a business coach, when people have come to me and like, oh, I want to pay for business coaching for my daughter, I'm like, nope.
God, what a good point, right?
Yeah. When your daughter's ready to put the money in it. All right. Well, we're going to switch to some signature questions as we get ready to wrap up this episode, which has been amazing. So this is the podcast that makes business sexy again. And so we like to keep everything sexy. So we'd like to know, how do you define the word sexy? This is such a fun question for me.
Yeah, no, I can define it many ways, but I actually will use that term. Like, I think Rachel, you saw my video the other day that I did about having the performance enhancing drug test done, right?
And so, yes, such a cool video. Man.
So I, you know, obviously at age 49, I'm in that age group of men that do take testosterone replacement therapy. I don't, my choice, not to. I choose to be natural. So I've used that term, sex it up before. I'm like, look, you can call it T, TRT and sex it up that way. It's an anabolic steroid you're taking. So I'll kind of use that term, like, yeah, you can sex it up all you want, but at the end of the day, hey, it's still an anabolic steroid. So I'll use kind of that term there. I don't know if I'm going to get into sexy though, but I could if you want me to.
We want to know what you think is
what
sexy.
What do you think is sexy? Yeah.
What makes you think your wife is sexy?
The other two.
Good answer.
I didn't hear that. What was the answer?
His wife, Gail Katouf. But what makes Gail sexy to you? What part? What's the aspect of, like, what part of her personality? Or
yeah. So you know, I was that guy that I'm like, man, I'm not getting married, man. Why would I get married? You know, I'm like, I'm not getting married. And then I met Gail. I'm like, all right, I think I'm getting married. You know, so definitely. I mean, I'll go back to when we met in 2006. Her drive, her athleticism, her physical ability. Yeah, it was sexy, man. This girl was badass. When, you know, just tough as nails. So that's pretty sexy, man.
That's awesome. That's the answer we were looking for. That's awesome. Okay, next question. Best advice you've been given.
Yeah. Best advice I ever was given was my father gave me, and he said, Rick, never make your problems somebody else's problems. Like, to me, like, literally think about that. Like, if every individual on this planet would have that mindset, don't make your problems somebody else's problems, we'd be living in a different world.
No kidding. That was huge, Rick.
I mean, I can remember my dad saying that to me. And one more, I'll go along with that, that goes back. I can remember being as young as 5, 6 years old, my dad telling me, when the going gets tough, I like it.
That's awesome.
Makes sense, yeah.
Awesome.
That, don't make your problems somebody else's problems. I think it's genius.
I love that. I love that. I'm going to start using it. I'm going to start doling that out to others. advice you wish someone had given you.
All right. I will say, and it probably goes more along the lines of maybe should have had it sooner.
Awesome. It's time for us to go. So thank you, Rick, and thank you, Warner.
If you think it's going to take 10 times work, it's probably going to take 100 times that or 200 times that. So yeah, that's why advice that any entrepreneurial to be, business owner to be, is get ready for more work than you've ever expected.
Amen.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. So, Rick, tell us where everybody can find you. So if they're interested in speaking to you about nutrition or fitness coaching, where do they find you?
Absolutely. So if you're looking for Team Katouf Nutrition, how's that right there? Is that good? Can you see it? Team Katouf. If you just Google search Team Katouf Nutrition will all come up. KatoufStore.com is where you'll find all my nutrition supplements. And the great thing is you have straight access to me. I mean, right to my email, right to my phone. And if you're looking for questions, I've got the answers. We'll help you out. We'll talk. We'll collaborate. We'll get the right program going for you.
And since I am a proud ambassador of Team Katouf, then in our show notes, you'll find a coupon code you can use with my name on it.
What a great ambassador you are. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Oh, I let me tell you, I've tried every new nutrition supplement in the book, and I love what Rick has to offer. Aww, and it's I can see it and feel the results, and I very much am a huge supporter of what he
does. Your posts are so fun. Like, I wake up in the morning, I can't wait to see what's on Rachel's story. What did Rachel post? She's got great posts. But the July 4th one is killing. You said, you're gonna like what I got for July 4th. That delivered.
Indeed. Well, thanks so much for joining us. I could talk to you all day long about this stuff, and but everybody's going to get back to you working on their businesses. So thanks so much for being here.
Rachel, thanks for your time. Gina, nice to meet you. Thank you both for your time. It was awesome.
Awesome. Thank you. And thank you to all of our Warners for being on this episode of Women Your Mother Warns You About. Like Rachel mentioned, there'll be a coupon code. And if you're listening and you're driving and you're like, how the world do I spell Katouf? You know what? go to the website, go to womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, go to this episode, click on it. You will find the links to get to Team Katoof, get your coupon, and all of those things. All of the things are on our website, including all of our social media links, et cetera, et cetera. And information about Keith Walters, who is not here. He probably would have loved...
Oh, Keith's our male counterpart, and he would love you because he's a huge cyclist.
If you want to know more about me, you can go to my website, GinaTremarco.com. It has all the things. It goes to all the places. And for Rachel...
You can find me all over social media at one of two places that you can find me in my mortgage world, at The Singing Lender, and for my... little budding fitness business that's kind of been around forever as well, like Rick, ultrafitlifestyle.com. And really, one of the greatest gifts that you can give someone you love is to share this podcast with people who might benefit from what Rick had to say today or other aspects of the information we share on this podcast. So we thank you for that.
Awesome. It's time for us to go. So thank you, Rick, and thank you, Warners. Bye, Warners.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey, monkey.